hopeless case. Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like every breath of hope has died.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, Richard.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings again from Oklahoma, a snowy Oklahoma.
Amen. Amen to that. And Ralph, I saw your post about Table Rock Lake. That, what's the old, you know, teaching a new dog old tricks or something like that, or an old dog new tricks. Wow. So have you been ice fishing is what I have to ask.
No. Some people suggested it. They said the crappie's biting, and I said, well, I'm not fishing. I'll wait until this warms up.
There you go. I don't blame you. Well, I know we've got a couple callers scheduled, and I'll be on standby, and I'll let you know when they call in.
All right. Thank you, sir. And we do thank everybody for taking time out this evening and joining us for Hope is Alive. It is a cold night here in the Ozarks, as well as where Pastor Cox is, and pretty much the entire country is this way right now. But we do thank you for taking time. And if you're curious, maybe you haven't tuned into Hope is Alive before, maybe you just found us, or it could be that you don't listen that often and just not sure, but it's a show about testimony. And a testimony is people who are set free from evil spirits, demons, oppression, sicknesses, all being done by the hands of everyday Christians like you and me. If you have any questions regarding deliverance, you can always go to deliveranceusa.com. It's a wealthy tool to have at your disposal there is the website. It's just excellent source of information. Or you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Rich at the office at 307-742-7582. let them know you'd like to have that book. You'll get it out to you. I believe we ask a $20 offering for it. And it's just an excellent book written by Pastor Cox, step-by-step process of expelling demons, casting them out, and helping people with to overcome that which has oppressed them. And it's just, it changed my life. I know it's changed a lot of other people's lives, and so I'd highly recommend it. Well, Pastor, did you even have ministry on Monday night?
No, I can't believe it. It was the second Monday in a row. First Monday, it was the ice storm, and this time it was the low temperatures below zero and plus snow. So, but we're going to meet this coming Monday, so I'm excited about that. There's plenty of work to be done, plenty of hurting people out there that need to be set free through deliverance, and to see even physical healings come about. The last time we did meet, several weeks ago now, we had 17 that came for ministry or for exorcisms, and had a minister for each. It was just a perfect evening. I had a great case, a lady that had been bothered by a spirit called Incubus, which is a sexual tormenting spirit. These demons even have a way of physically manifesting. And that spirit is so well known, it's in Webster's Dictionary. It tells exactly what it does, that it's an evil spirit that comes on someone, typically in the night, and come upon men as well, the incubus and the succubus spirit. These have been around a long time. Most people wouldn't talk about it. Of course, they think they're crazy, but you can talk freely in deliverance ministry, certainly. Since we understand and deal with it regularly, it's surprising how common that problem is.
It is a common spirit. We've had, plenty of people testify to those things that bother them. Maybe they didn't know that it was incubus bothering them, but you could tell from their testimonies that was one of those things. Usually it comes in hand with just sexual in general. People are caught up in a lot of sexual sins. More than likely they're going to have that, whether it comes from pornography or extramarital affairs, or even just sex outside the marriage, homosexuality, and different sexual sins generally will bring those demonic spirits upon you and into your life. And they can certainly torment you when you're sleeping. I know that they bothered me at one time in my life. I had no idea what they were. But, you know, I was able to get them cast out of me along with other things. And we know that through the power that we've been given, we're just told right there in one of the commissions of Jesus was Luke 10:19, giving us authority tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall harm us. And then he told us to go out and do that in the Great Commission, to go out and cast these spirits. So it's not any special training. It's not any special years and years of schooling. It's to be done by just simple Christians. Well, not just simple. We're powerful. But just you and me, just like Pastor Cox, myself, Brother Richard, and anyone out there listening, if you are a believer in Christ, covered by the blood of Jesus, you can do this as well.
All Christians, it's normal Christianity. By the way, I got a text from that woman I forgot to mention, which is the proof of the pudding. She's had no more incubus attacks since our minister.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Not surprising. Not surprising, though, huh?
Amen.
So, I mean, when you're given ALL power, all power, you should be surprised if it didn't work.
Well, I am, except as we so often find out, the demons have legal rights to be there, and we have to figure out if there's some rights so we can deal with them, get them canceled, or doors, as we often call them, doors that are still open, allow the spirits to come in the first place. Even though some can be on a person through satanic assignment, as we've learned coming out of Satan's war room, they're just simply put on Christians to block their lives.
Yes, and what he's talking about there with the doors is there's certain doors that have to be open for demonic spirits to come in. Even Jesus says he's at the door and knocks. He won't, he gives us free will, and we still have to open the door to him to come into our life. just like we and the demonic world is always a counterfeit and always tries to imitate and counterfeit what true Christianity is. So it's the same thing, and those doors are discussed on the website. They're discussed in Pastor Cox's book, and a lot of those doors are there just to sometimes they're generational, sometimes they're from unconfessed sin, sometimes they're from oftentimes they're from not forgiving. That unforgiveness is a huge door opener.
That generational door is always there. I ministered to someone, several weeks ago before we closed down the weather, also that the demon, the head demon, was there by a five-generation curse through the mother's side. And if you gave, 50 years to a generation, it's a five-generation curse, that's 250 years. That's way back there. But that's what we see, and it's no wonder that we run into that so much. Due to the sins and iniquities of the forefathers, there's all kinds of forefathers into witchcraft and so on, that demons have legal rights to come through right at birth. It's not fair, but it's the way it operates. The good news being, of course, again, we can cancel those curses with all power that we've been given, Luke 10:19, and then cast the related spirits out. That's the good news, amen?
It is the good news. It is the good news. And generational spirits are often easy to see in people, because you can see the behavior, especially if somebody and their parents, even their grandparents. You'll see a lot of times that the spirit of alcoholism will flow right through, and it'll be there from a generational curse, or even a generational curse from infirmity. As they always talk about, well, do you have a history of this or a history of that in your family? And that's a perfect example of what a generational curse could be.
Yes, that's what they do in the medical world all the time. You go to the doctor's office, they do a workup on you, and they find those things out. What about your family? And there we go again. They have no idea. It could be a spiritual matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, some of them would think you were crazy.
Yeah.
But it is. I mean, it's for some reason certain curses and certain demons will stick to certain bloodlines, and they'll stick with them, and they'll oppress just after generation after generation after generation. And there you're talking about with working with that the head demon. You know that if it was there five generations through her mom, that means her mother dealt with it, her grandmother dealt with it, her great grandmother dealt with it, her great-great-grandmother dealt with it, and even possibly her three-great. And that's just, I mean, that is a lot of oppression that's going on. And there's just really, it's such a simple thing. It's such a simple thing. That's why we come on here, to get rid of these things. It's just a simple step-by-step process of doing the deliverance, helping people and setting them free in the name of Jesus.
It's so wonderful to see these people set free from all these kinds of problems, like fear and anger and rage and violence, mm-hmm. many of which are generational, of course, depression, and all kinds of infirmities. And it's so wonderful as a Christian to get to see that happen as we minister like this. I'm always on such a high after seeing it. It's the greatest high we can imagine. God used little us to minister in Jesus' name and to see these lives turned around.
It is. It's almost instantaneous what you can see when you're taking someone through deliverance. Almost instantaneously. You can see a lot of times the heaviness come off their face, the heaviness. A lot of times they'll even be bent over, and you'll see them straightening up as they're going through deliverance. They come in with the weight of the world, but they leave with a big smile. And just a common testimony from just it would be a rare person who does not say, "I feel lighter."
Yes, which is the most common thing we hear people say at the end of the ministry session. We always laugh about it. when the person says that. We hear it all the time. It's like some kind of a load that's come off of them, like some blanket of heaviness when these things are cast out. And it's the real them that's left, praise God, now able to go forward in their lives unhindered.
And another common testimony is, I had the best night of sleep in my life.
Hallelujah.
So, yeah. And I tell you that I can testify to both of those things. When I went through my deliverance the first time, I slept like a baby, slept so well, and literally felt lighter when I came out. So, but if you have any questions regarding deliverance, then always go to deliveranceusa.com. Again, that's deliveranceusa.com. It's a wealth of wealth information there. We can there's an ability there. If you need a deliverance yourself, you can reach out and definitely get it to you.
Amen. Well, Ralph, this is Richard again. We've got, I believe, Bryce on the line. Let me bring him on. Good evening.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Bryce, are you there?
How's it going, guys?
All right. Okay. Well, great. And I'm so excited you called in. Ralph is on here with me up in the Cranston area. I know we've tried to do this a couple of times with weather-related problems and so on, but here we are. We finally made it. So, Bryce, why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself, some background, and when you were born again, and what was going on in your life, how you learned about deliverance, and changes you've seen, and so forth.
Yeah, I was born again when I was 16 years old. I was in high school. I just was tired and things weren't going my way, and I just finally broke down during a Fellowship of Christian Athletes meeting that I went to for the first time, and we were worshiping music, and I just fell down to my knees and just gave my heart to God, and ever since then it's been an interesting journey, to say the least. I've gone through a lot of troubles. When I got to college, I went and played college football, ended up coming down with a really bad bacterial infection, and was in the hospital for a couple of weeks, lost 40 pounds that I didn't have the weight to lose. They had to remove the lining of one of my lungs, and after the surgery, they said that there is a good chance that I wouldn't make it. So they called in all of my family members, and was sitting there with me overnight, and I could just see the angels working that night, and I pulled through, woke up the next morning, and felt great. And but because I was in such good shape, it helped, and God just, you know, wasn't my time.
Hallelujah.
Fast forward.
Praise God.
So, you know, that was a true testament of understanding true power of God, you know, the first time. And I've always asked for signs, and, you know, just said, God, if you're here, just show me. And that was probably the, you know, after I was born again, and then going through that and allowing me to pull through and continuing for me to live on, was awesome. Fast forward about 4 years. I got married. Been married to my wife Brittany now for the last 6 years, going on 7. And we have had a strong marriage until recently. Went through some troubles and some dark times and a lot of toxic work environments, and ended up going through a lot of, you know, we got away from God. And you know, that turned into some issues in our marriage. We both changed jobs within the same week, got into healthier relationships with people that we work with. Our marriage started to grow. We started going back to church. And then shortly after, the guy that I work with now is the one that introduced me to Deliverance Ministries. And his wife had done it, I think, a year ago. And we both came to the conclusion that, you know, we had some soul ties that were similar from a previous work boss or whatever that we had. That was a toxic relationship. We decided that that was what we were going to do, to go through, get rid of that soul tie. And so then we ended up going to Deliverance a few weeks ago. And not going to lie, we were both pretty skeptic going into it, not really sure what to expect or what was going to happen or if anything was going to happen. And next thing you know, during your, you know, the door closing prayer, it was like a weight just lifting. And I could see towards the end of the prayer what looked like, you know, a demon jumping out the window, and I heard his name, and it was Cathius, I think was the name. Yeah, it was the name, and I couldn't really understand what was going on. It kind of freaked me out for a second. And then after the prayer was done and we all partnered up with our you know, one-on-one ministers, I got paired up with Frank Thomas. Great guy. He's just a total warrior for God. And we go up there into our room, and we're sitting across from each other. He grabs, it must have been 7 or 8 Bibles, and he told me, he goes, you know, demons don't like this at all. He puts one on my back, up against me in the chair, takes another one, puts it on my stomach, tells me to hold on to it, and we go through all the different, darn it, what's the word? All the different things that, yeah. So we were going through all the different, you know, I had bitterness and unforgiveness and soul ties. And one by one, we just went through all of them. And, you know, each time, just a weight lifted off my shoulders. I think I burped a couple of times, yawned once. And then we get towards the end, and I could tell when, you know, Frank was demanding if there's anything else or any demons in there. You know, if there's a head demon, you know, announce yourself. And sure enough, you know, this is the part where it kind of gets fuzzy and foggy, and I just feel my hands clenching over the Bible in front of me and squeezing it, and I'm shaking. I can't open my eyes. And, you know, then this head demon, Cathius, just announces himself, and I had no control. You know, it was like I'm sitting outside of my body watching over it as it's happening. And we go through the conversation, and Frank's asking him a bunch of questions, and, you know, he was the head demon of 4 others that were there. I remember seeing 4 angels, 2 behind me, 2 behind Frank, just with, you know, 8-foot tall, and just, you know, basically poking. I could feel them poking at me, and they
swords.
You know, they got him out. And, you know, when we went through the realignment afterwards, I couldn't believe that my legs weren't aligned properly. And watching, you know, Jesus realign my legs and realign my arms, and I mean, it felt like I was just getting done at the, you know, getting a massage or a chiropractor, and I just felt great afterwards, like I could run a marathon. And right. Ever since then, a lot's changed. A lot's been happening for me personally in my life. Work's kind of, you know, exploded in the right direction that I've been wanting for it to go. My wife and I's relationship is just thriving, and she can see everything that's changed in me, and it's inspiring her to do the same. And I'm sure one of these days she'll go to Deliverance Ministries as well and experience, you know, something as powerful as I did.
Praise
God. That's everything. So, you know, praise God.
Do you remember how many demons were under the head demon?
There were four.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we had cast them out until we got to the head demon, and he said that there were, you know, how many were under you, and I remember him saying that there were four that were there, but now gone. And they had some weird names, you know, like Brutus and Rita. I think the other one was
Ella.
Natal and Dixon or something like that, or Dizzy. But yeah, they were all tied to, you know, unforgiveness and just the bitterness I had, and, you know, not feeling good enough, and it's I don't really have any worries now.
Praise God. You probably had more than four when you came in Monday night for ministry. What we often see is that there's some demons that will leave in the door closing prayer. Sounded like you were experiencing some of that. Then other demons will leave in the breaking of ungodly soul ties. Then other demons again will leave in dealing with the trauma door, you know, those memories of the past that carry bad feelings. And so when they finally get into ministry, in this case, it sounded like there was only four left. There's usually a good three dozen minimum with most people initially, unless they've had ministry before. Well,
right.
That's quite a testimony. But and did you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit that night as well?
I did. Yeah. I was just cleansed.
You'd have to say, Bruce, you got a Jesus overhaul. Amen.
Yeah.
You got an overhaul. Hallelujah.
I did. It was amazing. Amazed at, you know, being skeptical of it and not really understanding it, and then just completely changed. You know, I wanted to be different after that, and, you know, I wanted to, you know, I've always been, you know, a servant of some kind, whether it's, you know, helping people or, you know, doing things without, you know, expecting anything in return. And, you know, I just want to be a total, you know, warrior for God and just do things that He sees me doing, what He envisioned me in my perfect image and what He designed me to do. And I just want to be able to just go out there and just worship Him and tell everybody. I mean, I've been telling everybody about everything that's gone on in the last few weeks, and, you know, how, you know, the power of prayer, you know, the word of power of the mouth, and, you know, doing the 9 R's, you know, on a daily basis, and just going through that has really helped. And I mean, and honestly, it's kind of getting to the point where things are just easier. Like, it's just like I don't have to think about it. It just kind of comes naturally now.
Yes. Well, those spirits, as Jesus said, are all there to steal, kill, and destroy. And they're doing that with the people that are all around us. Just think about this, Bryce. How many people that are just like you that are still out there that need this kind of ministry?
Mm-hmm. There's too many.
It goes into the millions. It goes into the millions. And we only do about a dozen, 15 every Monday night. Now, that's a drop in the bucket compared to the millions that need it. We couldn't handle them all anyway.
I recommend it to everybody. I mean, you're bound to find something, learn something, hear something, or let go of something that you didn't know of before.
Yes.
And
that's difficult.
Yeah, it is. And I can understand why it might be, but I think, you know, the ability to be willing is really all it takes.
And Bryce, think about this, with your desire to help people, but think about going through our training at Deliverance Ministries and learning how to do this.
Yeah, I actually ended up buying your book after the deliverance that night. And I got more than what I asked for when it came to work. So I've been a little tied up, and this nice snowstorm has got me out working 24/7 to try to clear as much snow as possible. But I plan on reading your book and really, really taking the heart on that, and even considering possibly doing the training for that, because I think it would be a big way for me to help.
Yes, and you know, the requirement is people go through deliverance first, obviously, to make sure they've gotten cleaned up, and then also going through the deliverance is part of the learning process. As you went through it, you already have a running start of what it's like.
Yeah. Yep, and you know, like your book says in your introductory, I did read the introductory because hearing your background and then reading your introductory and your background, you know, basically the same thing about how, you know, the qualifications of, you know, being for that is, you know, a born again Christian.
Yes.
And
yes.
So I've got prerequisites.
Amen. Well, that's you'll have lots of opportunity to share, of course, now that you know what you know. And you can, what happens, Bryce, is once you've been through this, then you kind of have a compassion because you see people in your work and all around you that have these kind of problems that maybe you were delivered from or that were on that problem list. And you realize, gosh, they could get free of those if they only knew about this.
Yeah, the only way to do that is just, you know, spread the word of God and let them know about deliverance ministry, and it could really help a lot of people.
Yes, and one thing we have learned, the person has to want to change or it won't work. God won't go against self-will. But there's plenty of people out there that they're tired of the torment. And they're actually praying, saying, Lord, help me. Somebody help me. And finally, praise God, somebody will share with them, and here they come. There's so many out there around us that need it. And praise God, at least we have the tools to help them. Well, in the last remaining minute here, Bryce, what would you, you have anything else you'd like to say before we wind up?
I'd just like to say, you know, for everybody that's you know, listening or will be listening later, God is amazing. You know, I have nothing else fit for a king other than to just, you know, sing out hallelujah loud and often. And I just pray that, you know, everybody could have a chance to, you know, be saved and be free from the torment and, you know, live a life like I do and less stress, less worry, and being able to go out there and speak the word of God on a daily basis and just, you know, walk in his footsteps as best as we can, God willing.
Amen. Bryce, thank you. That was a wonderful Amen. Testimony. That had to encourage others out there. God bless you, brother.
God bless
thank
you.
Thank you, Bryce.
You guys have a great night. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go push some more snow.
Okay. We need it. Thank you for helping. Bye-bye.
Yes. Yes, definitely. I will do it for as long as I can stand it.
There's lots to move.
Yes, there is. Well, you Excellent. Guys have a great night, a great week. God bless you guys. Keep doing what you're doing. I love it. And I'm looking forward to hearing from you guys again.
Thank you so much, Bryce.
All right,
good evening.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Fantastic testimony. Fantastic testimony. Well, Pastor, we have Jerry. Jerry, thank you for calling this evening.
Yes. Oh, fine.
Yes. Hi, Jerry. It's Ralph up there in the Branson area on there with me. And why don't you go ahead and give some background on yourself, some history, and when you were born again, and what was going on in your life, how you learned about deliverance, and what your deliverance was like, changes you saw, and then what it was like as you got into doing deliverance. So go right ahead.
Okay. So I was born to a preacher's kid's kid. and so my mother's father was a preacher, so I was kind of born into this. And so basically I've just went to church all my life. And probably cut my teeth on a church bench, so to speak. So it was a very interesting life growing up. And I think I probably gave my heart officially to the Lord at about 8 years old. Probably always just loved the Lord even before that. I just decided to make it public. So that's about the time that I officially and declared that I was saved. And so that was really a good change in my life. And I've always been sensitive to the spirit realm, so it probably helped me in my decision to give my heart to the Lord officially. And so I guess I was about 8.5 years old, and I had an out-of-body experience in my bedroom at home. So that kind of added to things that was going on in my life early. And so it was an experience in itself, and I was kind of afraid to tell anybody else. I figured they would think I was crazy, but it was very interesting to have an out-of-body experience. And I was probably only about 9 when I started finding out that I was actually talking in tongues, playing in the yard and doing things, and I had nothing to do with that. The Lord just chose me to fill me. And I was going to a little Baptist church at the time, and naturally I already knew that I couldn't say things like that, so I didn't tell anybody, but it was a very interesting experience. I might have been 13 when I had a really good experience with the Holy Spirit, and So I learned pretty early some things about moving in the Holy Spirit. And so I began to learn about deliverance ministry and things that were going on from my cousin, Jonita. She was doing deliverance at the time, and that was in the building on 10th Street. So she kind of got me started, but I had just always been serving the Lord, and by the time I really started getting my own deliverance, it wasn't such a big deal as far as demons or anything. I was pretty much prayed up, but it didn't light a fire in me to begin seeking after the supernatural things that were out there for me. And I remember I was really hungry to see some things, and they weren't teaching at this in my church, so I had to go outside to another place to find out what was going on. And so I think it was maybe the second time I went to a meeting outside my own church that I got to see two people healed of scoliosis right back to back. So the supernatural had begun, and it was quite fascinating for me. And so after I had began tasting of the supernatural, it made a real change in my life. And I found out that it really wasn't about me, but it was just about God working in and through me that made the difference. And so I remember there was a lady that came in that I ministered to in the older building on 10th Street, and she'd had a stroke, and her fingers were kind of bonded together. She couldn't really use them, and her arm was up against her chest. She couldn't really move it. And so after I had prayed for her and released God's presence and anointing, her fingers untwisted, and her arm flew out totally free, totally healed. So that kind of began my ministry of deliverance and making me hungry for more things. So it was quite an interesting beginning for me, because I didn't teach this in the Baptist church where I was at. And so I began to learn about this through deliverance training and from other people also. And so I had begun already to move in that spirit realm. And so I began to see things that were happening that in deliverance ministry that weren't happening in other places. So as I began to move out in this area, I began to see more and more things all the time. And by practicing these principles, I began to see the work of God in people's lives, so they can be set free. And so that kind of began my ministry in deliverance. And so it was a real eye-opener for me just to watch other people and to draw from their experiences so I could see what was going on for myself. And as I began to do more and more deliverance, it kept getting better and better, and I began to see more things, more people healed, and more people delivered from things in their lives. So it began fairly early. I think I've been doing this 12 years now, so I've had several experiences in that amount of time. And so I guess it's been about a couple of years ago, I began to see other things happening that I hadn't saw before. And besides arms and legs growing out, which I never get tired of seeing this, other things were happening, like backs were getting healed. Shoulders were getting healed. Knees were getting healed. And various different things were getting healed. So I laid hands on people and began to speak God's healing power over them. So it began probably 10 years ago, but as you practice the presence, it always gets stronger, and you learn more about dealing in this kind of ministry. And it doesn't suggest that we pray for somebody and hope they get healed, but it actually tells us to actually heal the person. So this requires faith on our part, and I began to learn that very early. And as I did that, I began to see more and more people delivered. And currently, I've seen several hundred people healed already, and the list will keep growing as I keep doing more deliverance. So,
Jared?
Yes, go ahead.
Jared, share some about your head demon cases. When did you first learn to get into that?
Okay. Yes, I can do that. And in fact, I just had one recently on the phone ministry, and that was pretty interesting. And it's a little bit harder on the phone ministry, probably, but you just can't have the physical contact. But the easiest way for me just to pull up a head demon is I use anointing oil on my Bible, and I also use anointing oil, and I will put them both on the person. And if I am ministering, I command the head demon to come up by the power and the authority of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And then just lay my hands and my Bible on the person. And most of the time I'm having head demons come up that way now. And the biggest advantage to the head demon coming up is that I can get information about the person, like what caused the disease, what caused the generational curse of perversion or whatever. And so it makes it much easier for us. So I've had a number of cases. And in fact, we did a house ministry where we had a head demon come up, and we did it basically the same way, by laying on of hands and using God's authority to command the head demon to come up. And when it did, it confessed that it had put stuttering on this young man. And when we were finished the ministry, before we cast out the head demon, we asked him if he had caused that problem, and he said yes. So we said, well, can you take it back off? And he said yes. So we commanded him to take the stuttering back off of the young man, and immediately he was healed. And it was simply amazing. And so you can get information after you have brought the head demons up. And we don't necessarily focus on head demons, but in an effort to free the person and to get information, it's advantageous for us to do that. And he also had pain in both of his knees, which we just released a creative miracle for. And so instantly he was healed in his body. So there is a
great
advantage in bringing up the head demons. And so we've been doing that as often as possible. And so the guy that I just ministered to on the phone, in fact, I talked to him today, he had a lot of problems, and like confusion, nervousness, previous thoughts of suicide, depression, and hearing voices, and there were a bunch of confusion, just a lot of things going on in his life. And the big problem was a trust issue for him, because he had never been taught to trust anybody, and even the Lord. So when I commanded the head demon came up to come up, he came right on up real fast. And the head demon was death, a death spirit. And so he was responsible for some diseases also. Not all of them, but some of them. So we had him take those off, and we released a creative miracle for the rest of them. And so all of the demons came out as we commanded them to. He also had PTSD and fear issues, which everything left as we sent the demons out, and they were responsible for a whole lot of it in this case. So it was an interesting conversation today, because he's finally learning that he has the authority to take care of this for himself, just because we did ministry with him and showed him how to cast the demons out by himself. So we're also, according to Matthew 10:8, to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely we have received, freely give. So therefore, I would like to teach other people to do what I'm doing, so they can not only get themselves free, but they can also free someone else, just like we're doing, and proliferate the kingdom of God. So there's an advantage in ministering to these people. And so I love ministering people, because they can get so free. But not only that, but they can go out and free someone else. So there's a definite advantage in ministering to this area. And so I'll give you one or two more. And so sometimes in deliverance, I have found out that we need to break generational curses of different kinds, and they will be affecting the person. So we have a young man that we ministered to that had a lot of the young people problems, and so as we were ministering to him, we found out that he had been born out of wedlock, and even as we were ministering to him, his parents had not ever got married. So we had to break the generational curse off of him so that he could be free to serve God. And there's just so many things in ministry and deliverance that we have to get into before we can actually get somebody set free. And so what I have found out in ministry is that if there are demons in them, they are attached to something inside the person. So we're like a doctor. We have to do a primary survey to see what's going on in the person's life, and then we can cast the demons out. Otherwise, they're probably not going to stay out. So we have to be sure to take care of the legal rights and break those, and then the person will be totally free, not only just now, but in the future. So there's a lot to deliverance ministry than just casting out demons. We sometimes have to go in and break the legal rights, and then they can be free. So it's an amazing ministry. casting out demons is only one part of it, but I do like to bring up the head demon because you can get a much information from them, and then you can get them permanently free. And Jerry, what we try to do.
Jerry?
Yes.
Jerry? For the listeners, when you say you're calling a demon up, the head demon came up, that means it's talking out of the person's mouth that ministering to. Maybe some people listening that are not familiar with the terms that we are, that we use all the time.
Okay.
Well, we're just about a minute. You're just about out of time. About less than a minute remaining, Jerry. What would you say to people before we wind up?
Yes, and so we do need to do that. And like you said, and so... I know we're about out of time, but yes, the demons are not hard to get out. It's getting the person wanting to be free. And this is the biggest thing that we challenge and have a challenge with. And they will speak out of the person's mouth when the head demon comes up. And we've had that happen many, many times. And this is how we are able to cleanse them to get information. And how much time we got left?
Well, thank you, Jerry. That was quite a testimony. And you have a number of gifts beyond what the typical minister. I don't have any special gifts myself, it seems.
It's just the Lord's will for me to use them, so I do, and that's about all I can say.
Yes, well, and the step, and if you don't have the gifts, you can still use the steps that we have and help the people get free. Well, goodbye to you there, Jerry. Thank you so much for sharing, brother. God bless you.
Yes, Jerry. Good to hear from you again. And that's right. You don't have to have any special gifts. You just have to be a Christian. And if you have any want or desire to either get deliverance or learn how to do deliverance, deliveranceusa.com is the website. Or get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling the office, 307-742-7582. Let Richard know you'd like to have that book. He'll certainly get it out to you. We thank you for taking such time this cold Wednesday night being out with us. We look forward to being here next Wednesday. So thank you for tuning in. Pastor, God bless, and we'll see you next week.
God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority.